Nobody likes a hypocrite.
This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004, I'm Steve Webb, your OG Godcaster. This is the podcast that comes to you every single day, and we're reading the entire Bible together in a year. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for making me a part of your day. Welcome. The website is lifespringmedia.com. If you're anything like me, you had a lot of sweets leading up to Christmas. But if not, be encouraged. Today is National Chocolate Day. Personally, I don't think I want to see any more chocolate for the next 6 months. But if that's not you, enjoy yourself. It's also Epistle Sunday. We'll read 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. And after that, I'll have some comments on the reading that we'll have on this date in church history. And since it's Sunday, we'll have a time of prayer. And after that, I've got a little surprise for you. So don't check out early on the show today. Go all the way to the end. I think you'll be glad you did. Let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for our time together to read your word and to be taught by your word. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would touch our heart today and teach us that which you want us to know. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with a leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If any of you have a dispute with another Christian, how dare you go before heathen judges instead of letting God's people settle the matter? Don't you know that God's people will judge the world? Well then, if you are to judge the world, aren't you capable of judging small matters? Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more then the things of this life? If such matters come up, are you going to take them to be settled by people who have no standing in the church? Shame on you! Surely there is at least one wise person in your fellowship who can settle a dispute between fellow Christians. Instead, one Christian goes to court against another and lets unbelievers judge the case. The very fact that you have legal disputes among yourselves shows that you have failed completely. Would it not be better for you to be wronged? Would it not be better for you to be robbed? Instead, you yourselves wrong one another and rob one another, even other believers. Surely you know that the wicked will not possess God's kingdom. Do not fool yourselves. People who are immoral or who worship idols or are adulterers or homosexual perverts, or who steal, or are greedy, or are drunkards, or who slander others, or are thieves, none of these will possess God's kingdom. Some of you were like that, but you have been purified from sin. You have been dedicated to God. You have been put right with God by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Someone will say, I am allowed to do anything. Yes, but not everything is good for you. I could say that I am allowed to do anything, but I am not going to let anything make me its slave. Someone else will say, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. Yes, but God will put an end to both. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality, but to serve the Lord, and the Lord provides for the body. God raised the Lord from death, and he will also raise us by his power. You know that your bodies are parts of the body of Christ. Shall I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of the body of a prostitute? Impossible. Or perhaps you don't know that a man who joins his body to a prostitute becomes physically one with her. The Scripture says quite plainly, the two will become one body. But he who joins himself to the Lord becomes spiritually one with him. Avoid immorality. Any other sin a man commits does not affect his body, but the man who is guilty of sexual immorality sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price. So use your bodies for God's glory.
You've heard it before, right? Someone is doing something that is patently wrong, and when they're called on it, they drag out the old, "Judge not that ye be not judged," line. Or someone fails to take a stand on an immoral issue or person because they think it's not up to them to judge. Well, after reading chapter 5, what do you say? It sounds pretty clear to me that Paul encouraged the people of the church at Corinth to get the sinning person out of their fellowship. I think that would be classified as judging, wouldn't it? So then, what did Jesus mean when he told us not to judge? As is usually the case, it's helpful to look at the context. The scripture is found in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Let me read it to you. "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So what Jesus was really talking about here was hypocrisy, wasn't it? He wasn't talking about judgment. And, as you know, he wasn't very keen on hypocrites. That's something even non-religious people today have in common with our Lord. Nobody likes a hypocrite. So now let's get back to chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. To look at evil and call it evil is something that we're called to do often in Scripture. To call someone on their sin is right if it's done with love and a goal to restore them to right living in fellowship. We want to bring them to repentance. James 5:20 says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So here's the bottom line. Keep your account with God clear. As much as is humanly possible, live your life in such a way that you will not be in danger of hypocrisy when you're called to confront sin. A few weeks ago, we read Matthew chapter 5. And in verses 13 through 16 in the 5th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people. You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven." If we allow the kind of compromise, especially in our own lives, that was in the church at Corinth, how can we be salt and light in a lost and dying world? I'd love to hear what you think.
I got a few comments from Joy Kurtz. She sent this one to my email address on Christmas Day. She said, "Howdy, Steve Webb." Well, howdy, Joy. She said, "This is Joy Kurtz from Dunkirk, New York. I have an idea for the show. Would you give us a Bible memory verse from the lesson? Merry Christmas and peace, Joy Kurtz." Well, Joy, I suppose I could do that. Of course, it'll be up to you to do the memorization. We're not going to have any tests. I'll pick one of my favorite verses from the day's reading every day. And we'll start today. Today's verse is 1 Corinthians 6:11. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God."
Well, there you go. That's your memory verse for the day. And thank you for that idea, Joy. That's a great idea. And yesterday, she sent this email regarding episode S3E037, which was the Judges 1 through 6 episode. She said, "Hi, Steve. This is Joy Kurtz from Dunkirk. I completed the long reading in one session. I even took notes." Well, good for you, Joy. That's awesome. And then she sent a third email, but we'll share that in the prayer segment a bit later on. Beloved, I love hearing from you. You can do as Joy did and send an email to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, or you can go to comments.lifespringmedia.com, or you can text me or leave a voicemail right here.
Lifespring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
Sing along.
Lifespring Family.
Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
And we have two associate producers today. Jamie Lodberg sent in his monthly $20 donation on Christmas Day. Thank you, Jamie. He's an associate producer today. God bless you. And Brother Michael Hayner sent his weekly $7.77 donation, and that came in on December 26th. Thank you, Brother Michael, and God bless you. Beloved, your value-for-value support is very much needed to keep the LifeSpring One-Year Bible Rewind coming to you 7 days a week. If the show blesses you in some way, please consider supporting the work in whatever way makes sense to you. Time, talent, or treasure. Tell somebody about the show. Share the show on your social media. And definitely pray for the show and for me. And if you're a creative type, I'd like to see what you can create for the show. I'm open. And if you're able to support the show financially, that is always welcome, too. There are several ways to do that, and you can find out more right here.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
On this very date in church history, December 28th, in 1538, we had the birth of the Great Bible. Well, what's that all about? Well, in 1538, December 28th, King Henry VIII's officials issued an injunction that changed the course of English Protestantism. My goodness, that sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Well, here's what happened. They ordered that a copy of the Great Bible, which was the first authorized edition of the Bible in English, they ordered that a copy of that Bible be placed in every single parish church in England. For the first time, the Bible wasn't chained up or hidden in Latin. It was placed on a desk where any literate person could read it aloud to those who couldn't read. So when you think about this, this really is sort of the DNA of this podcast, isn't it? It was the birth of the open Bible movement that ensured that the Word of God was accessible to the common man and woman, not just the priesthood. I'm sure that almost everybody listening to the show is a literate person, but this podcast is just one more way to get the Bible out to people in a way that is good for them. So praise God for that, and praise God for the Great Bible. And then the next event is the death of Zachary Macaulay in 1838. Well, who's he? He was less famous than his friend William Wilberforce, but he was a giant of the Clapham sect. Now, before I talk about Zachary Macaulay, let me say a few words about the Clapham sect. It wasn't a sect in the sense of a cult or a separate denomination. They were a group of wealthy, influential evangelical Anglicans who lived in the same neighborhood, Clapham, South London, and they worshipped together at Holy Trinity Church during the late 18th and early 19th centuries. They're one of the most inspiring examples in church history of how faith without works is dead. They had a mission. It was called the Two Great Objects. The group was led by William Wilberforce, the famous member of Parliament. He famously wrote in his diary that God had set before him, quote, two great objects, unquote. Number one was the abolition of the slave trade, and number two was the reformation of manners, which meant improving the moral and social fabric of society. So Zachary Macaulay was a staunch Protestant who dedicated his life to the abolition of the slave trade. He was known in the Clapham sect as a man of facts and figures. He worked tirelessly behind the scenes, using his faith as a compass to fight for the dignity of every human being. He passed away on this date, having seen the fruits of the Great Emancipation. So praise God for him. Praises and prayer requests. So Joy Kurtz sent this in yesterday. He said, "Steve, This is Joy Kurtz from the nursing home in Dunkirk, New York. I don't know what's happening to me. I need prayer. I need healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, and social healing. Yes, Joy, we certainly will pray for you. Beloved, Joy was in an automobile accident several years ago and suffered severe injuries, including a head injury. As far as I understand, she's making progress but still has a ways to go. She doesn't tell us in this email the specifics of what's going on right now, but God definitely knows. So please keep Joy in your prayers, and of course we'll pray together today. And then also, let's remember Brother Scott Snyder's wife, Diana, who will be going in for some testing next Friday. You'll remember that Scott said there was a spot that showed up on Diana's mammogram, so please remember Diana in your prayers. And I have a praise. So far, it seems like the eye drops that the lovely Lady Leanne is using are decreasing the pressure in her eyes. She said she doesn't feel the pressure like she used to, so that's good. And I think I already told you that the results on her thyroid biopsy were negative, meaning the lumps or growths or whatever you want to call them are benign. So, again, we praise God for that. All right, so let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in it. Your heart of love and grace is so clear, and we can't help but respond to you with our love. We thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers, and we thank you, Lord, that you are truly the great physician. And right now, Lord, we lift up our sister Joy to you. She's been through so much, and you have been so good to bring her this far. But Lord, we ask you to bring the healing that she needs. We don't know any specifics, but you know everything about her and what's going on right now. We ask you to be with her where she lives. Hold her in your strong arms and comfort her. Give her your peace right now, Father. Strengthen her. Encourage her. Help her to know how much you love her. We ask you, Lord, to heal her. And now we lift up Diana and Scott. It's hard not to know what the tests will reveal, but I know that they love you and they trust you, so we ask that you give them peace. Help the days go quickly so that they can get the test over with and then get to the results. We pray that there will be nothing wrong when the results come back. But as they wait, we pray that they'll be able to just rest in your peace. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this LifeSpring family together. I pray that the words I say on the show are your words, not mine. I pray that each person takes something from the show every day that helps them in their walk with you. I pray they and I get a better understanding of you every single day. Help us to think about the scriptures we read and make them a part of who we are. May your Holy Spirit use this show to make us more like you. I pray that you meet the needs of every LifeSpring family member today. I pray that we would be aware of your presence every moment of the day. Give us opportunities to share Jesus, and then give us the courage to speak when you give us those moments. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, when you send your prayer requests in, I'll pray for you in my daily private prayer time, and I'll pray for you on the show so that we can all agree together as we take our requests to God. Where do you send in your praises and prayer requests? Prayer.lifespringmedia.com, steve@lifespringmedia.com, or 951-732-8511. I'm going to make my sign-off a little different today. I'm going to play a song from my good friend Brian Duncan. He actually put it on his podcast today, Nutshell Sermons, at nutshellsermons.com, on the day after Christmas as a New Year's prayer. The song is from his Grammy-winning album called Quiet Prayers, My Utmost for His Highest, which was inspired by Oswald Chambers' devotional of the same name. The name of the song is O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. It's really beautiful. I hope you enjoy it. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thanks for being here. I'm Steve Webb.
that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter that seekest me through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the that morn shall tear.